chapter 5. Do you believe? The first part of the scripture that was just read today said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. We're talking about today what it means to be an overcomer. We're going to see the Overcomer movie in a little bit. And I think that it'll be good for us to see it. But I want us to understand how this is connected to Scripture. And so I want us to have that conversation this morning. So first of all, the Scripture is talking about our need to believe. And so I want to ask you, do you believe? Believing that Jesus is the Christ requires action. It means that we need to do something. You saw the thing about cross country. You hear Christy share something about cross country, so I'm going to keep that going. I went to a cross country meet this week, and there were 150 to 200 athletes there, because cross country is a sport. And I saw people from Nelson. This is a side thing. I'll tell you, it's kind of fun. Caleb and Noah running for New Covenant. And I go, and Caleb happens to have a baseball game after his track meet. So I show up to this track meet wearing my Nelson ball jersey, and I connected really well with the cross-country athletes from Nelson, and they kind of adopted me for a little bit. It's kind of a fun thing that happened. But I want to tell you about the meet itself. You see, it's a little bit different. And coaches have an opportunity to do things a little bit different with cross country. And I know, because I saw it at this meet, there were just dozens and dozens of kids running. And some of them were running really fast and out front, and some in the middle and some behind. But as they're going, I saw coaches. And not just one or two, but I saw several. And you know what these coaches were doing? They were jogging or running along with the athletes and talking to them as they went, saying, you got this, just push it a little bit harder, you can do it, you're doing great. And they were doing that, and they were going right alongside of them as they would. Not all the coaches were doing that, but some were. And they obviously couldn't do that and be that for every one of the athletes they had, but there was something that was going on at that point, that coach was beside that athlete running and yelling and saying that. Now, do you think that coach believed in that athlete? Do you think that athlete thought that coach believed in them? Do you think that athlete was able to do some things because that coach believed in them that they couldn't have done if that coach hadn't been doing that? When you believe in something, you take action and you respond. Those coaches believed in their athletes. So instead of simply setting back and say, yeah, I got 37 in the race today, we'll just see how they do and watch them as they come across. They didn't do that. They're out there. Them being a coach in that situation meant a whole lot more than a paycheck. It meant investing their lives in some people they believed in, and it made a difference. When we believe Jesus is the Christ, it requires action from us. The Bible says it in yet a different way. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We pray the Lord's Prayer this morning. Part of that prayer said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, if we believe Jesus is the Christ, and we're asking for God's will to come and be done on earth as it is in heaven, if we believe in the way we're talking about believe this morning, it doesn't mean we believe God's going to do it, so we just sit back and watch what he's going to do. If we believe, we become actively involved. Believe is a verb. It's an action verb in the way it's used here. And we need to recognize that. And we need to respond accordingly. believing is something that we demonstrate. Secondly, if you continue on in that verse, it said, everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. So I want to talk about love for a minute. I threw all sorts of curveballs to our musicians this morning. Now, you saw what I did to Brian and to the people in the sound booth. Well, I didn't leave Dave and Brenda out either, because they had had this song planned that they were going to do as the first hymn, and I contacted Dave, talked to Brenda when she got in this morning, and said, hey guys, instead of doing what you had planned to do, could we do "They'll Know We Are Christians"? The reason I did that is because I want us to understand what this hymn says and how it connects to the Bible about what love is. That first verse of that hymn said that we're one in the Spirit. We're not all alike, but we're all connected through Christ. And we need to know that and acknowledge that, and it makes a difference. And I'm just wondering, have you ever been in a situation where you met somebody and you didn't know them, and you may not even have that much in common with them, but after you've talked to them for about 5 or 10 minutes and it becomes obvious that they're a Christian, there's a connection that just happens? I see some heads nodding. That's a part of that unity. Not just the unity of us coming together in this church fellowship and recognizing that God leads us in one direction, but that it encompasses all of God's family. The second verse talks about the fact that we walk with each other. We walk with each other hand in hand. How often do you see people really walking together these days? I think it used to happen more than it does now. Because you know what I think happens now? Everybody goes at their own pace. And in order for people to walk together, there probably has to be an adjustment made. Dave Miller and I don't walk at the same pace. And if we're going to walk together, either he's going to have to speed up, or I'm going to have to slow down, or we're going to have to do a little bit of both. So it means there's a change on our part. And that's true for anybody. Very few people are going to walk exactly the same pace. And it's not just talking about your walking speed. It's talking about the pace in which you live your life. So for us to walk together means that we have to pay attention to each other. We have to be willing to change. And a lot of people don't like change. And when people see that, the course says they'll know we're Christians by our love. They see us walking together. The third one says we will work with each other. And when you work with each other, you realize there are times that, and I'm sure, I'm not going to ask for hands or anything like that, and because I don't want you to go to thinking about that right now. It's not where I want you to be in worship. But if I ask you, you could probably create a list of things you need to get done by a certain time tomorrow. Or if you have a job, there's a list there that's waiting for you. And so you get focused on your work and what you need to do. But this talks about the fact that we work with each other. And there's sometimes that we need to be able and willing to rely on each other and to respond when there's a need. And people see that. Not only may it be a situation where Ed has a need and he calls me and asks me if I can help him out, and I do my best to be able to do that if I'm able, or vice versa, he comes and helps me. There may be times when we together see a need from somewhere else, and John and I get together and go help somebody else where there's a need. You can see examples of this over and over in Scripture. When we work together in the way God leads, they will know we are Christians by our love. John 13 verses 34 and 35 says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You think Jesus thinks this is important? How are we demonstrating our love for each other? A famous theologian once said, you can only love God as much as you love the person you like the least. Hear that again. You can only love God as much as you love the person you like the least. A theologian said that. It didn't come out of the Bible, but you know, I think it preaches. God loves every person He created. You get that? He created them. He loves them. He cares for them. It doesn't mean we have to go to liking the person, because there may be good reasons for us not to like. If we've been mistreated, taken advantage of, stomped on, God doesn't want that, and we don't have to like them, but we need to love them because God loves them, and we need to desire that they have the life God wants them to have. That's a type of love that goes beyond what the world understands love to be. You know, this whole thing about Janice and whatever happened down there when I was talking earlier, Janice needs to know she's loved. And I don't know that she's had a lot of that in her life. And I want this to be a church that does that. Now, I don't want to be, we're not a church that I want to lead in such a way that we're just taken advantage of and we're pushovers. In fact, there have been people that have come here that have done just that. And when I've realized that, I've had a very heart-to-heart conversation with them and said, look, you're not going to get this kind of help from us anymore because it's not helping you, it's enabling you. And I have that point-blank conversation with them, and I tell them that. But I say, we love you. And I will continue to want to talk with you and pray with you. And there's some challenges you have, and I realize that, and I will do whatever I can to help that. And there have been people I've spent long-term relationships with and gotten to that point. And I believe those people have come to understand, at least to some degree, what God's love is. It's been told to me in two different cases. It was said to someone in our church, not by someone else in the church, and I don't know who it is. I have no desire to know who said this, but it's my understanding of somebody not connected to Woodland at all that told someone in our church, and I don't know who they were referring to, but made the comment, I can't believe they let people like that come to that church. I don't know the context of what that was, but I want people like that because I think God wants people like that. It doesn't mean we accept what everybody does. It doesn't mean that we say everything is okay. Sin is sin, and we talk about that. But we love people because that's what God calls us to do. And that's how they know we're Christians. And you're going to see how that ends up becoming a part of what it means to be an overcomer. Let's look one bit further. If you keep reading, it says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. I want you to hear all that third verse again. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. I want to focus on that part where it says His commands are not burdensome. If we love God and we want to do what God wants us to, it's not going to be a sense of God's a killjoy that keeps us from doing the things we really want to do in life. It's something different than that. I got to do a wedding yesterday, and I want to tell you about something that happened at that wedding. The guy that was getting married, his fiance gave him some instructions. She said, please don't bring a fishing pole to the venue, because there was a lake there, and he's quite a fisherman. And she said, please don't wear your cap or your sunglasses during the ceremony. Now, you have to realize this. I have known this guy for over 9 years. The number of times I've seen him without a hat and sunglasses on are less than the number of fingers on this hand. So that was a pretty big deal. And fishing is something he loves, and he had already thought about it, and everybody knew it, because he was going to be there at that venue all day setting up and doing stuff, this type of thing, and he knew there was going to be some downtime, and just a few minutes to go get that line wet would make a big difference in his day. But as I got there, an hour or so before the wedding, and I met him, and I was having a conversation with him, he said, "You know, she asked me not to do this. That's not much of a sacrifice to make to give her the day she deserves." That's not the whole story. You see, because when we were up there and it came to the point that the bride's coming down the aisle, I was glad those glasses weren't on. Because you know what? That groom shed more tears than any woman in that entire place yesterday. Because he loved her so much. And he saw the beauty outside and inside. And he was thinking about the rest of his life he got to spend with her. And he's not one that you typically see shed tears like that. But he didn't even try to hold them back because he couldn't. You know what? None of us is... Now, he should be loving her as much as he is. But we should love God more than we love anybody else on the face of this earth. And if we love God in that way, it will never, ever be a burden to obey Him. Because we will just yearn to do that to please Him. And as people see that, you know, there's so many people today that they wonder, why would I want to be a Christian when I have to go around and follow all those rules and do all those things everybody else does? And you know, they've got reason to wonder that, because we're going around like we're moping, like that's all we're doing is following a bunch of rules, and we're not reflecting the love of Christ. We're not reflecting the joy that we're supposed to have. But when we have that relationship, we embrace God fully. To obey Him is not a burden. And so as we close, we read once again, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has over... "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." People, life is hard. Whether it's finances, health, relationship, having people fail you, you failing other people, falling short of your goals, not having the confidence to even make goals yourself because you don't believe it's possible for you to overcome the pressures and struggles and challenges of this world. Listen to this scripture from John 16, 31 and following. Do you now believe? We talked about believe at the beginning. Do you now believe? A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. This is Jesus talking. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Musicians, you can come up. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Where is your identity? How do you define who you are? Is it by your job? Is it by the person you're married to? Is it by your children? Is it by your mama and your daddy? How or do you identify who you are? I can tell you, as a believer, as a Christian, you're supposed to be identified by who you are as Jesus Christ. And when that happens, all of those other things, you're able to be more a husband to your wife the way He wants you to be. You're able to be a better father to your children. You're able to be a better son or daughter to your mother or your father. Because in that identity, all of those things that burden us, all of those things that are so overwhelming, we become the overcomer. We have that type of power and strength and ability. Is there anything in your life right now that you need to be able to claim and say that I am an overcomer and I'm going to live my life this way? If you don't have anything in your life like that, it's pretty rare, because most people do. But God is waiting He is waiting to give you what you need to be able to be that overcomer. Find your identity in Him today if you don't already have it. And if you already have it, by all means, claim it. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Trust and Obey, hymn number 447. I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you. The altar's open. Respond as God would lead. That doesn't just mean you've heard me say it. Believe that means to put it into action. Wherever you're going today,